me, Gerard Hector, and Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
A little frustrated, but no, I'm good. A little bit of tweaked, but mostly very happy.
Mm-hmm,
very good.
We are through, in many cases, four games. In one case, the series is already over. The Philadelphia 76ers have moved on to the second round. David, you know, you have a couple of things that like drive you nuts. And we had our call this morning, our true content meeting. And something that we talked about there that I wanted to bring up here that also drives me nuts. And it's something you've talked about all season long. We have had a number of guys hitting other players, opponents, in the nether regions of their bodies, right? And sometimes they get thrown out, sometimes they don't. And to me, it's just the inconsistency with that has been just so frustrating. Like, if a nut punch is a flagrant two, an automatic ejection, then it is that across the board, no matter who does it, in what context, where, if he missed, but only whatever. Like, if that is determined, that's where they wanted to go. That's what the person was doing. And it was an act that was unnecessary, an unnecessary basketball move, which is what flagrant fouls are. And it warranted for a penalty too. I don't care. Eject. Joel Embiid should have been thrown out of that game. He was not. Okay, now we joked this morning. Well, Claxton, you got to sell that better, my guy. Roll around on the ground and act like you almost died. Like, do how LeBron did when Dylan Brooks hit him. You got to sell these things. But point being, officials, if this is what the deal is, and I know after that Thursday game with Embiid, I know the referees were on the phone with the Embiid. It was all weekend with videos and all day. Just be a little bit better and be a little more consistent because, you know, the games now, you lose a player, it gets kicked out for a game, and it gets suspended. That has series-altering effects. So I would just like to see consistency on that regard. Now, I know you have some pet peeves you want to discuss.
Yeah, for no particular reason. It's just when I'm watching these games, there's a few things that bother me. What bothers me the most, and it's not just the postseason, is television directors who constantly show us close-ups of somebody.
I know that bothers you.
I want to see the court. Because things are happening. And I mean, even at the end of the game or a dead ball timeout, like you'll see a player about to yell at a teammate or maybe high five a certain, and then we do a close-up of some dude just walking off the court. Like, I understand that you're trying to tell a story, but they're telling us the story. So just, you don't have to do the wide angle from the very top, but let us see as much as possible and get and soak it all in. After games, I like to see players that played in the same college, even 10 years apart, connect. But I don't see that. I'll see close-ups of two dudes hiding their mouth when they're talking. They don't even know what's going on. Like, other things are happening. It's just directors doing their job to the extreme.
Well, I wonder, David, on that point, how much of it is, because we know this, the league is sensitive about what fans see their players do. And if it's something that may be an argument or whatever, nah, we don't want that. Let's just show, like, you know, two stars talking under their jerseys.
Well, I'm not arguing with you at all. I think in this case, someone like me is going to catch that first millisecond of, oh, something's about to go down here. Not going to punch each other, typically. But you're going to see... That might explain, well, that's what happened on that play where they gave up the layup. So one of those two guys messed up. And the one that's really demonstrative is the one that normally is not the one who messed up. He's mad at the other guy who did. Mm-hmm. And we don't see it because we keep going to the guy that made the shot that we all just saw him make. That part wasn't hard to discern who made the shot. So that's one of my pet peeves. It's been going on forever. The other one is studio hosts who act as if they have a real gift of predicting the future. I think you would say that I'm not stupid when it comes to basketball.
Nope,
I'm not claiming I'm the world's smartest guy. It's a hard sport to project. But I'm pretty good at projecting what's going to happen. Not amazing, I wouldn't say. No one is. But, I mean, I'm never confident of anything. Very seldomly, anyway, when it comes to projecting who's going to win a series and so forth in the middle of the series. Jalen Rose, who I like very much. I'm a fan. I have been a fan for a long time since his freshman year in college. Announced at halftime of the Knicks-Cavs game. It's over. Knicks won. Now, the Knicks were up big. I don't think he was saying that when the Cavs came back and took a lead. I think the Knicks have a really good chance to win the series. They're up 3-1. But do I think it's over? No. He does. He thought that would have still 2-1. I don't love that. I think these games are more fluid. And we have, yeah. I think it's demeaning to the randomness and the variabilities of the of not just the teams, but the individual players. Mm-hmm. RJ Barrett wasn't worth a nickel after two games. Now he's worth every penny they're paying him. I don't know what's going to happen going forward. Donovan Mitchell was absolutely terrible game four. If he wins game five, which he's capable of doing at home, are you saying the Cavs can't win game six? I'm not saying that. And if they win game six on the road, now they're back in Cleveland. It's not possible. So right, I don't like the black and white aspect of these predictions. It doesn't ring true to me. I understand fans may like it, but right, it doesn't represent reality to me.
Yeah, it's something Henry and I talked about when we were doing our analytics conversation a few episodes ago. You know, our brains like rankings, and we want to know definitively what is one, what is two. And it's like, this doesn't exactly work like that, right? Like, just because you're up 2-0 in a series, it doesn't necessarily mean that, like, you're two games better than the other team, right? Like, it's just, things can shift. Like, now you're going home, somebody tweaks an ankle, somebody gets hot from three, whatever. Like, things change that rapidly in a playoff series.
A week ago, everybody just knew Milwaukee was going to win this series in 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. And today, we have no idea.
Right.
One injury to Giannis, one bad fall. Mm-hmm. We see this every year. This isn't surprising. Yep. So I just, it sounds great to be so confident. I know we're in an age now in the Stephen A. Smith world, and everyone's so bold and yelling and screaming and so confident. Well, I'm freaking smart when it comes to knowing basketball, and I don't know a damn thing. I have some ideas as to what I think is probably going to happen, but things flip and change all the time.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of that, it's a great segue into, probably the most exciting series we have going on, and what an exciting game yesterday afternoon. Warriors and Kings now tied 2-2, heading back to Sacramento. David, you know, here was my top line takeaway from that game. Potentially fatal errors down the stretch by everyone, not just Kings and young guys, Warriors making mistakes up and down the floor too. And my God, like it was incredible. I say it, you say it. Physically tired players make mental errors. That's what happens. When you are physically beat, you're going to forget, oh shit, was I supposed to, do we have a timeout there? Whatever it is, you're going to, for that brief second, you're not going to all be there because of the physical fatigue you're feeling. And that could be the difference between a game. The other thing I'm going to take away from that game was there were at least 4 opportunities, David, where the Kings could have just folded, right? Because, oh shit, it's the Warriors. They're doing their thing. Regardless of what happens in this series, I'm not a Kings fan, so I don't care, but the fight they show, like when they go down 10, they don't just duck their heads and go, all right, fuck, we're done. They fight and they come back. And the Warriors keep punching back at them. I mean, this was an impressive series and an impressive game from the Kings on the road in that building. Now, we'll see what happens in Sacramento on Tuesday. 3-2, pressure's on them. We know the winner of game 5 in a 2-2 tied series tends to go on to win 95% of the time or whatever that number is. So this is a pivotal must-win game for both sides. But I'm impressed with what I saw from the Kings, and we can dive into some of the Warriors' late game struggles.
Yeah, to me, I'm not so impressed with when a team continues to fight when they've been winning. That's why they keep winning. I think it's we'll talk with the Nets. That team knew they were done, and so what's there to fight for? The Kings had everything to fight for. You're not wrong. And the young guys, Keegan Murray especially as a shooter. De'Aaron Fox. Well,
I think that's what it was. It's the youth and not crumbling under the Warriors.
Right.
Man.
Yes. They were up to the challenge. Keegan Murray played great. De'Aaron Fox is unbelievable. We were texting during the game about fatigue. As you know, I say this all the time. There's no such thing as rookie mistakes. They're just mistakes. And if you weren't sure that I was right, well, check out Hall of Famer Steph Curry's inexcusable timeout that he called late in the game. But there's more to that play than just Steph's loss of focus. And again, he was exhausted. I caught Draymond Green's show, which I've never done before because I'm stupid and I'm busy. It's terrific. It was terrific.
Draymond's, yeah.
Yeah, he could not have blamed himself for more. Like if someone had complained about the popcorn too salty, Draymond would have said, my fault. I love that. Yeah. I love, as a dad, I would tell you that if anything was going wrong with our family trips, let's look at me first. It's just easy to do. It's a way to promote leadership and a connectivity. He absolutely had Steph's back. And said, number one, that's my job to let him know we're out of timeouts, which I don't agree with Draymond on this. Steph also admitted he screwed up. Steph actually was funny. During the press conference, he said he thought he was a genius for calling timeout when the trap was coming. And then he had no outlet passes and had to call timeout until he realized, okay, we have no timeouts. Draymond said, I normally have to trail that play. That is a rule in basketball. When you expect traps to come, you have a backwards pass. Yeah, someone's got to trail. Draymond said, it's always me. It was my job to tell him in the huddle we're out of timeouts after the challenge that we made on the Looney illegal screen, which I thought was his dumb challenge. I should have been more vocal about it. He said, because I knew we're out of timeouts and I was supposed to trail the play. But instead, after Loon got the rebound, gave it the outlet pass to Curry, Draymond said, I just kind of went down the court, do-do-do-do-do, which is what I say about Jokic, totally forgetting that there's game on the line here. So I love that he took responsibility for that. On the fatigue thing, I did a little math here. All right, you ready? Mm-hmm. So from the 8:49 point of the fourth quarter to the 4:10 mark, Steph Curry scored in both of those timestamps. So in that period of time, the whole fourth quarter to that 4:10 point, Steph took a two and missed, took a two and made, took another two and made, got a steal, made a 30-foot three, got a rebound, missed a three, got a rebound, missed a two, got blocked at the rim by Sabonis, and then nailed like a 28-foot three. So 10 points, a couple rebounds, a steal in that time frame. In the final 4 minutes, he got a foul, he missed a three, he missed a two, and he called an extra timeout and almost cost him the game, right? Mm-hmm. That's exhaustion. Mm-hmm. That's exhaustion. We've seen it so many times before. And I think Steve Kerr made a mistake. I think he should have taken him out. I don't think he should have felt like I always have to have him in the game. But they do this all the time, and I think it's a mistake.
You know, the broadcast does it. Obviously, I'm sure Kerr is aware of it. It's what you do on every team, basically, right? What do they do in the non-star minutes? And yes, when Curry's on the floor, they're plus whatever they are.
Right.
And then when he's off, they're a minus whatever they are. So, right, if you don't know anything about anything, your thought process will then keep that guy on the floor all the time. So you're never minus. You're always plus. Well, problem is, at some point, there's going to be a tax to pay for being on the floor for all those minutes, right? Like,
sure. You're
going to be fatigued down the stretch. You know, the Kings outscored the Warriors by like 11 or 12 in that fourth quarter. Like, I mean, they had Monk not made... Well, there were a couple, and just go to the Kings side, couple errors. Again, De'Aaron Fox, probably pretty tired, for a brief second, forgot Steph Curry was the person he was guarding, right? And instead of staying attached to him, as you know, going over the top of the screen, he took the long run around, and you knew he's like, oh, shit. Like, he just knew. Like, my bad. Like, and what's the point of running out there? That guy's got a wide open shot. He's going to make it. Like, it's just these little errors, but this is the time of year where this thing happens. And guys, playoffs begin at the end of an 82-game grueling break. It isn't like, all right, we had 3 months off to rest. No. A week, and now we're playing the most intense basketball of the year. And I think teams that are better prepared in terms of star players being off the court and playing with those other guys and understanding how to manage in situations are better off prepared than teams that, what do we do when our guy's not on the floor, right? Like, we're in trouble. And I think, you know, that's what you always talk about. That's coaching. That's roster construction. Right. You and I talk about how we don't love a lot of the Grizzlies role players. But the one thing that we agree on, we said on text messages, but they're used to playing. Right.
We'd love them less if we never saw them until now.
Right. Correct. But they play all the time. So we know they know what to do in those situations because we do it all the time. When you play a guy because you're afraid of your bench, that's what Kerr is doing. He doesn't trust Kuminga, Moody, or any of those guys to play any important minutes down the stretch. And if you got to tax your best guys who are older this early in round one, how are you going to make it through four rounds to get to the NBA Finals? So anyway, this series is exciting. I'm impressed with the Kings. You know, game five will be interesting. Who do you think the pressure's on more? You think it's on Sacramento more in game five? Or equal pressure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not great at that kind of stuff. I think that Golden State does not want to be down 3-2.
They sure do not.
So, and we obviously, Sacramento would be really upset about it. I think they're very even teams, which is a credit to Golden State because Sacramento is very good. Golden State has been very good. Again, if I told you ahead of the game, one of these teams is going to you could call an extra timeout and kind of melt on the vine, you would be sure it'd be the Kings.
Without doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt.
It was Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Yeah. And you know, the big thing with the Warriors is their defense has been terrible on the road all season, and it's been good at home. Their defense outside of the third quarter yesterday was not good at home. Like, they gave up 100 and whatever it was, 20 points. Like, the Kings can score on these guys. And De'Aaron Fox, David, you know.
Yeah, he's moving into another. He's Donovan Mitchell level.
It's always tough when guys come into the league and this is what you do for a living. And you always say, we joked about this, you got to give the cake time to bake. Yeah. Right? I was like, and you're like, and you need a hot oven. Right? A hot oven will help the cake bake. We don't know what these guys are going to be. He has a level of, and I didn't know we had it in his game. And I mean this in a good way. And you know what I mean? He has a fuck you level to his game that, like, I never saw before, but I see it now.
I want to pick up on that. So I talked to a teammate of his when he was younger who said he's incredibly talented, doesn't want to listen to anybody, but he believed he would figure it out. And it turned out Mike Brown, at least we know Mike Brown's the head coach. I don't know if there's someone else involved, but that he always said, "How the fuck you mentality without knowing how to use it." And now he kind of knows how to use it. He's a killer. He's really super special player.
In the fourth quarter where they know he's coming and they can't stop him anyway.
No, like, in fact, the last play of the game, they did put two. Steph and Drake. They knew. They
were like, let somebody else beat
him. Draymond said it after the game, too, and someone else has to beat us. And Harrison Barnes was open. I don't know if he'd make the shot or not. I don't think it was a bad play.
And smart play by De'Aaron Fox. He could have just shot it anyway, like with two guys on him.
Take the open shot.
Open guy. Yeah. I will also say this. We talk about this, and you know, it's always better to run your actions and start your stuff earlier in the shot clock, right? Later in the clock you have, it's just the percentages go down. When Fox got his dribble poked away and had to reach, that was critical, right? That was 3 seconds off the clock. It's like, all right, man, like those are little things that I think people don't realize that matter so much. I don't know what the number is, but I know for a fact your shooting percentage of the team goes down the later in the clock you have to go and get a shot off.
It also throws off your rhythm. If you remember, it was April of 83. What year were you born?
78.
So you're 5 years old. You don't remember then the famous NC State play versus Houston, but you've seen it on film.
Oh, I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah. So Benny Andrews from Houston almost got a steal way out near half court. And not Benny Andrews. He was the offensive player. NC State, one of the guys, Sidney Lowe or Derek Wittenberg. I think it was Wittenberg, almost got the steal. And Andrews got it really late. They ended up taking a three. No, it was Benny Anderson. He was on defense. He almost got the steal. He was a freshman. NC State, Wittenberg airballed the shot. And then the Leonard Charles got the dunk. But that, they got the airball. They forced the airball by going for that steal. It discombobulates you. That's just a famous play in my mind. That's why we chart deflections, right? That stuff's important. It's not, of course, you're right. Every second as we get closer, the percentage go down because at zero, that defender is undefeated.
Correct.
Right? Whether it's the shot clock or the game clock. So you want to get them more uptight about it. And Draymond said something interesting too. I thought that he talked about how I remember in the game, they put Draymond on Fox late in the game. They just want to give him different looks. He said, the great ones always kind of figure you out if you keep giving the same looks. And he was giving Fox a lot of credit, which I agree with. He should have done that. He's getting to that point now where unless you put two on him, he's going to kill whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. That should make Kings fans very excited.
Excited. Look, Kings, I want to be clear about what I'm saying here. The series isn't over, but regardless of what happens here.
Definitely not over, no.
Regardless of what happens here, the Kings' outlook looks very bright going forward. Like, you got guys.
Well, and Malik Monk's not an old guy.
No, not at all. I mean, the old guy is Harrison Barnes, right? Yeah. I mean, that's your old guy. I really think the Kings can really have something going here. You need to get some more defensive talent in the building. I think Fox can be a better defender, right?
For sure, he can.
Like, if you're that good offensively, you can be a better defender. I mean,
with that kind of athleticism.
Without question. Yeah, I don't need you to be all defense. You don't got to be that.
But speaking of defense, Davion Mitchell has found a place.
So
I've been texting people who are 6 feet tall and want to play in the NBA. Like,
That you did that. Yeah. So much so, Steph knows, shit, Davion's on me. Pick and roll. Get him off. I want to go at Barnes. Davion has a way, and maybe it's because he's closer to the ground because he's only 6 feet tall. he can just hug Steph and be in his shorts.
Quick, the whole powerful,
time.
Too. And
very strong.
Disposition to defend.
Well, you have to want it. Right? Yeah. He wants to guard.
I spoke to an NBA player and said, who in your career has given you the most trouble? And he said it was Mitchell. He was talking about college, mm-hmm. but it was Mitchell just getting under you. I sent this message to some 6-footers saying, like, do you see what he's doing? You think about offense all the time. He needs Wrong. To get better in offense.
Yes.
But
although he had some shots last night.
He's coming along. You there's a place in this league for 6-footers that can defend like this if you can shoot, manage the game, whatever. Obviously had a great college career. But yeah, it's great to see.
I was very, very impressed with him. And it's like what you said. He knows Steph Curry. Okay, you get a 28-foot shot. Whatever. Next play.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get caught up in, like, if this is one of the greatest players of all time. I understand that. Here is my job and what I have to do. And I thought, I think his numbers, when he's guarding Steph, Steph's not shooting well against him. Like, Davion's really, really
they get
done a great
they
job.
They get under you where you start questioning your moves. This is why you have to guard Durant this way.
Yes.
Not to say that it's easy to do it, but that's what you have to do is make him question everything because of your ability in terms of quickness to disrupt his rhythm and timing, right?
Yeah.
These guys shoot much better when they're in the flow. Much, much, much better. And so you try to break that flow up.
No, it was excellent. You know, Mike Brown, after the game, you know, he just talked about, you know, this team is young and they don't, this is all new experiences for them, right? We always talk about this. You say reference points. The Kings, what reference points do they have? They're learning them now. These are their reference points. It will make them better going forward. But I just love their willingness to compete and not, because we've seen it, David, even veteran teams, when the Warriors do their thing and they just, all right, we don't got it tonight. It's not going to happen. But these guys, maybe there's because they're young and they're too dumb and they don't know any better. There's that line between being young, you're full of hubris. Like, oh, okay, they scored 10 straight. So what? We can score 10 straight too. And they just keep coming back with that next play mentality. So I'm impressed with what I'm seeing. Game 5 is going to be electric. Looking forward to that on Tuesday night. Moving on in the playoffs, the Knicks. We talked about them at the top. A commanding 3-1 lead. You know, we were texting about this game too. Sometimes it's about scheme and, you know, getting guys in better positions. And we talk about that. But, I mean, you said it on our text messages. I said it. One team looks like they are racing, to quote David Thorpe, with their hair on fire. And the other team is like, regular season. You know, we're going like, and it's really disappointing to see that from the Cavs, to see that they're not collectively realizing, yo, we don't have 4 games next week to worry about. Like, we're done if we lose game 5, right? So I'm disappointed with the Cavs' requisite effort to match the Knicks' effort level. It's just not there, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's really it's surprising almost to see a lack of alarm in how they're defending and rebounding, especially rebounding. They got killed on the glass, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I watched.
I mean, Josh Hart seemingly got like 8 offensive rebounds by himself
late in the game too. The rule is, as I've told you guys on the phone earlier, if I can't get it, I can't let you get it.
Put your body on somebody.
I got it. Well, I got to get rid of it. It definitely hit someone. I got to move my hands fast. I got to knock the ball loose. I can't just give it to you. And there's an urgency that's part of that equation that Cleveland just is lacking. I felt too, there's a number of contests that, like, if I learned that Jared Allen was hurt, I wouldn't be surprised. He's not contesting the way he did during the year. There's something missing with that. And then Donovan was just terrible. It was a great game, competitive wise.
Mm-hmm.
Without Donovan playing at all, he was really bad.
Yeah.
Frustrated. I could see it.
Yeah,
I would not be surprised if he has 40-plus in the next game.
Well, because a lot of, look, first I want to give credit to Nick. Some of it's Nick's defense.
Sure.
A lot of it were shots that Donovan gets and looks that he likes, and he just missed. And that's just the nature of the game, right? Sometimes you're going to miss. But as you always say, and everybody knows who watches basketball, the misses cannot affect you with everything else in the game, right? You have to put a body. If you're not going to get the ball, put a body on somebody. And that's just not what they do. And we've talked about it. Rebounding is not their strength, despite starting 2 7-footers.
Our concern to start the playoff was that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They got to get better there. We know they got to upgrade at the wing position, which they'll likely address this offseason. They have to get better there. I think, too, they can hunt the Knicks can, Donovan and Darius, right? There's a two guys they can clearly go after in situations. I think it's a little bit harder for the Cavs to isolate on who in the Knicks do they want to target, really, right? You're not targeting RJ. You can try to target Brunson, but he's short, but he's super strong and physical, right? I feel like, you know, that's part of the issue. The other thing is, you know, the Knicks, they're role guys. I know you love Hartenstein. Man, like.
Big fan.
Rebound.
Big fan of him.
Rim protection.
He's got skill, too.
It's just, again, there seems to be a level of fervor, a verve. And I said this morning, Cavs, negative verve, right? Just, I don't know. Is that a, I'm not want to get on JB, but what is it? Is JB not getting a message through to them? What do you think is happening there?
You know, my first suspicion would be that there's some kind of...
Jared's hurt. Somebody's hurt.
Yeah, or bad juju going on. Like, there's some kind of...
Internal team thing.
Yeah, but I'm not at all saying there is. I just don't understand why, as I said on the phone call today, there's a five-alarm fire going on, and you're still folding clothes and putting the suitcase. Like, get the fuck out of the house. There's got to be that kind of fight. Yeah. And I think JB will probably address that with him. I think he did in one of the timeouts I saw. Mm-hmm. Like, there's something missing with that. Yeah. And Mobley has got his hands full with Julius Randle.
He sure does.
Jared Allen needs to be better. Donovan needs to shoot better. Darius had a terrible first half and then was great. Mm-hmm. And we knew going in the Okoro LeVert at the five spot, the fifth spot, was going to be a challenge.
Yep.
And it's proven to be that. They don't, you know, Okoro missing those corner threes. They weren't even close.
Right. And LeVert doesn't defend as he should for his size.
Right. Yeah. It's the Knicks are good.
Yeah.
I still have a sneaking suspicion we're going to be late in game six in like a tie game.
Oh.
And it could go seven. Like, I really
think the Knicks aren't immune from having a crap game, right? They're not immune from that. They were a five seed for a reason.
Right.
Right. Like,
they feel pretty good with themselves right now, for sure.
Right? they sure do. I will say this. You know, Tibbs gets, from us especially, gets a lot of gruff, right? For, come on, bro. You're playing these guys 20 minutes. Yeah. He did not go back to Julius Randle in that game. Josh Hart was doing his thing, and he was like, you know what? I'm sticking with this. Now, Julius did get upset about that.
Did he?
Did not talk, yeah, he didn't talk to media after the game.
Oh, I knew that. I didn't know that was why. Oh, that's some bullshit right there. Wow. You know,
it's like, come on, buddy.
Come on,
like,
Julius. We're trying to win a series here.
Right. You got to put your feelings aside. Like, we're up 3-1. And it isn't like you're not going to play the next game. Like, you're still Julius. We got you. Like, you're going to be an integral part of this.
You're going to think I'm stupid for saying this probably, but I'm telling you, I shouldn't say never. But I'm almost never to choose to be an executive in the NBA. I don't want that life. My wife deserves more time with me at our age now. However, if I was, if that really, I would bring Julius Randle in.
Have a little talk.
And if he said, well, I'm just pissed I didn't go back in, I would tell him, enjoy your last moments as a New York Knick. You're gone.
Wow.
Yeah. You're not ever going to be playing for us. Like, I'm not going to say anything publicly so I can get good value for you. But I can't wait for our team to play in the playoffs every year because you don't care. If that really is true, I'd be unbelievably disappointed. He could have left for a lot of reasons. But if that's the reason, shame on you, Julius. I'm a huge fan. I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't make that connection because it couldn't even dawn on me that that might be why he left without talking to the press. I knew that he
did
that. That's
what I think. I mean, he seemed like he was up on the bench and cheering and okay. So I'm like, what? I mean, you won the game. Why would you not talk?
Let's hope it was something else. Because
unless something like, you know, I had to leave, like whatever. I got some family thing going on or whatever.
Right.
Okay, fine.
Right. You know. Other than that, there's no excuse for that. He's a key player on that team. If of he's course. Feeling slighted, then go talk to someone.
Or maybe he was like, I don't want to answer questions. They're going to ask me, how'd you feel about not
going to
be?
If he knows in his heart of hearts, no problem here, fine.
Right.
I don't care. Right. I don't care to talk to the press. Right. But if he's upset about it, that's a flaw in that team that's going to be chipped at going forward. That'd be a mistake. Mm-hmm.
Without question. But, you know, shout out to Knicks fans, man. They're feeling happy right now. David, so obviously everyone knows I live here in the city. 7th Avenue was shut down. Knicks fans were spilling. It was
really
crazy. It was just crazy. I was like, this is, you know, New York is a interesting city. In so many ways. Home for me, of course, all that, birthplace, yada, yada, yada. It is, when the Knicks are good, it's a Knicks town. As much as Yankees, when they are good, it is a Knicks town. And I'm telling you, up 3-1. Let's say they win this series whenever they win it. And then who knows what's going on with this Milwaukee-Miami situation.
Oh, God help us. If the Knicks made the finals.
God help us all.
Against Boston.
Oh, my God. Wow. It will be just insane in this city. Just, you know, putting that out there as a prep. All right, guys. We will be back after a short commercial break. All right, David. Moving on, talking about the rest of these playoffs here. Celtics, which we just discussed, they are up 3-1 on the Hawks. We said, first of all, kudos to Atlanta for getting a game at home.
Yeah.
We both were like, we don't see this being very competitive. They were very competitive in that game. They won it, obviously. And even though they lost last night, they played were competitive well.
Good game.
In that game as well.
Good game.
Celtics just, you know, they're a better team. Some vulnerabilities, I feel like, with the Boston Celtics, right? Like, they're among the class of the league, but Atlanta's maybe showing us some things that's making us not all in on the Celtics. Like, okay, there's some things that can get exploited here going forward.
Well, I've not really done a deep dive into it because I don't think this series, I thought it would go 5 games. Okay. I think it's going to go 5 games. And I think Boston knows they're just so much better. So, but Philly's got, you know, Philly's not going to be easy.
That's going to be
a 6 or 7 game series. I don't know who I'd favor yet. Let's get Boston get through Atlanta first. But I think Boston's better off having played Atlanta, being pushed a little bit. Philly, who really didn't have much of a chance.
Coasted. Well, you know what? Let's go there. Let's bring it up. I'll move that up in the document. Let's talk about Philly because that's likely the next round matchup. Oh, first, before we move on, in that game, talk about ref consistency. You brought up something on our phone call this morning. DeJounte Murray, after the game, apparently bumped an official inside the tunnel heading back to the locker room. Already talk about the plays under review for the NBA.
Oh, wait. I didn't know that. I know he bumped him on the court.
Oh, so it was on the court. I thought it was heading.
I saw it on the court.
Okay. Okay. So DeJounte bumped an official. Right. NBA studying it. Are they going to suspend him? Whatever. Okay. Jason Tatum, same game. Also bumped an official. But we're not hearing any conversations about Tatum possibly being reviewed. And this is what we talked about, the consistency, right? Like, yes, I understand in the grand scheme of things, Jason Tatum is a superstar. DeJounte Murray is not. But if it's the same for one, it's got to be the same for both, right? And you said, well, they might have a really easy way out of this, which is Tatum looks like he was just walking and didn't know where the official was and bumped into him. I did not see it, so I can't say.
Tatum wasn't mad at the ref. The ref called the foul.
Right.
And so, but I mean, still, he bumped him. For sure, there was a bump there. The ref seemed like, me? Why are you mad at me? I called the foul. But yeah, I mean, we're supposed to not touch referees. Yeah. I hope that DeJounte is going to be suspended. Don't you think? Probably. I mean, you can't be bumping referees.
You can't. Especially when you're obviously angry
at them.
Yes, right. At them. And we should say there has to be room for incidental contact, right? These guys are all jumbled up in tight spaces.
Which is what I think it might have been with Tatum.
Right. So you're going to get up and it doesn't mean I'm trying to knock this guy down. Those things happen in the middle of competition. But yeah, where in Murray's case, where he was already mad and it seemed like he was going after the official, that's going to be, you know. You're not gonna play with that. But as you say, we don't think it matters. Boston's clearly better. This series is likely.
Yeah, Atlanta's done a good job. We all thought Trey was going to be traded. He's kind of reminded us he's pretty damn good at basketball. He's
very good at basketball.
Great passer too. maybe he and John Collins both get traded. I'm not sure really where Atlanta's going. You know.
And what are they going to do with the Kongwu? I like a Kongwu a lot. Like, but he doesn't play because Capella's there. Like,
They might just start over again. New owner, in a sense. Mm-hmm. Bring in new management, right? Over the last couple years. New coach, more recently. Yeah. Maybe we just, it'd be a mistake, in my opinion. But
reshape the team in Quinn's image. What Quinn likes to have out on the floor.
Yeah, DeAndre Hunter's playing well. Yeah. So that's a good thing. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to what we think is going to be the next series, which is Boston and Brooklyn.
Boston and Philly.
Philly swept Brooklyn those last 2 games. And as you and I talked about, Jacques Vaughn did not do anything new. The team did not, they just didn't change anything. They kept running their same stuff out there. And we thought, and you said brilliantly, when you are the underdog against a team that's clearly the favorite, you have to do different things because there's a reason why you're the 6 and they're the 3 and that much better than you. You got to do crazy things if you're going to pull off the upset. Well, they didn't try any of those. None of the crazy stuff. And there are moments where the Nets played really well and had leads, but I was like, yeah, but once Philly just decides to lock it and do their thing, they're going to beat this strategy. And it was pretty easy. And B did not play game four. He's got the knee sprain. And that is something we should talk about because, and God, Philly's hoping, please, Atlanta, win one more game just to stretch Boston out extra so Joel has some time. His status, I think, is still up in the air for when it's going to be game one. Doc always says, you know, whenever your MRI is like, oh, that's never good, right? Because we've got to look to see what's going on with his knee.
When is game four, five for
game five?
Boston.
Likely on Tuesday.
It may be Wednesday. Right.
If they have the two days,
they might have an extra day.
That's going to be so helpful for Philly.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah. Look and see.
Nope. It's Tuesday.
So Tuesday. So what are they start Friday?
This is our Friday probably.
So yep. He'd have almost a week. For when he last played. Mm-hmm. Philly is, I've been on him all year I do think they're capable of beating Boston. They're gonna have to connect a little better. Boston's gonna challenge them in some areas just because they're such a good team, and we'll see how Philly's resolve is. You know, are they gonna have a game where they have 15 offensive rebounds? Are they gonna have a game where they make 20 threes or 18 threes? Mm-hmm. How are they owning the defensive glass, which is not so hard against Boston? Is Harden, what does he have? Mm-hmm. I think that series goes 6 or 7. I don't.
Tobias Harris too. I think they'd be very big in that series.
Yeah, for sure. If Boston gets by Game Five, which we expect them to, I think that's gonna be a hell of a. I'm not sure. Yeah, Boston I favor. They have the home court advantage, mm-hmm. but Philly absolutely can win that series.
And that's going to be talk about the two of the more. Shall we say ornery fan bases in Philly and Boston? That is going to be not a whole lot of brotherly love happening between Philly and Boston in that series. It should be exciting. If I'm not mistaken, it is. If they win, it'll be Embiid's first conference finals trip, right? Yeah, he's not been to conference finals before.
No, the farthest they got was the Kawhi three in the corner.
Yes,
to get a chance to play
that
Milwaukee.
That was rough. Yeah, that was a rough one. The double bouncer.
It was crazy. When you look back on it, really crazy. And not to put salt in the wound, but that was the last full postseason we saw of Kawhi being
Kawhi
because it looked like that this April.
Yeah.
And now he's been
out. We'll get to the Clippers in a minute, but it's clearly that this is a congenitive and debilitating injury. Like this is a something that like, it's not that, oh, wrestling. No, he's dealing with this, the duration of his basketball career. When he stops, it'll be one thing, but throughout the time he plays basketball, this will be a thing that is going to be problematic for him. It is a continuous injury and it's problematic because he's so electric when he plays. But even still, all that being said, and I think I said this maybe a couple months ago on the show, I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, he's one of few guys that are like five all NBAs, five all defense, two-time champion. I mean, like the list of that is like six people.
To me, well, he's got the accomplishments, but if you've ever been in the short list consideration for best player in the world, I think you should be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree.
I remember Gerard, for 3 years I worked, I brought all my pros to IMG to train when they had fired their coach. And I just brought my pros. It was just a gym rental in a sense. It's an hour and 20 minute drive. Mm-hmm. So very often I would work the guys out in the morning, go get some lunch somewhere. And then I'd have like an hour and a half to kill. Very often I would call Henry Abbott on the phone I had an office there, but I didn't like being indoors. It was hot in summer, Florida weather. And I would just wander the campus and I would watch like the best tennis players in the world, just training. And I mean, there was a guy, I forget his name, a lefty from Chile. Oh. You'll know who it is. I just went blank on his name. Marcellos.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
He was number one in the world.
Yeah.
And he was playing on a beautiful little, just one of the practice courts in the middle of the campus, surrounded by some bushes, but I could walk up there and I just watch him train. I would sometimes bring my sandwich out there and watch. And I just thought this guy, like, I don't know where he's from, a rich or poor part of Chile, but
Marcelo Rios.
Marcelo Rios, yeah. He would
excellent tennis player.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I just thought, what a What a thrill that must be to know all the work you used to just eat your cereal in the morning and go to school like every other 5-year-old, and now you're the best in the world at 20, whatever. Kawhi was that. He was probably the best player in the world for a period of time. Yeah. He's a Hall of Famer.
No doubt. So Philly, Boston, it'll be interesting, guys. We'll see where that stacks up. All right. You know, last night, the Timberwolves, you know, kudos to them. They played well. I thought, even though they lost game three at home, they played well in that game. They could have easily been like, let's just fold it up, guys. It's a wrap. They fought.
Like Brooklyn did.
Game four. Like Brooklyn. Like Brooklyn did. Listen, he's being real. Like Brooklyn did. They could have fought. And they did. And they won in overtime. So they'll force a game five back in Denver. If you're the Phoenix Suns, you're like, thank you. Make them play one extra game. We love it, right? So we're on the same schedule now. Like, we're going to play five games. You guys play five games. That's a likely matchup. But we both still, first of all, Anthony Edwards, want to give him props. This kid's, this is the bet they made, right? When they made the Gobert trade, they said, okay, we think the ascension of Anthony Edwards is a thing, and it's coming. You and I know, and you know especially, because this is what you do. Development's not linear, right? Like, you get a little rocky start to this year, and the leap we didn't quite see it early. He's playing very, very well this postseason, and Minnesota's got a star. They got some other issues they need to work on around that team, as we know. I don't know if they're going to solve them, but we know that Ant is a guy they're going to keep. I mean, you said it early in the year. I think it's true. They're probably going to trade Cat, is my guess, and build around Ant and Gobert. I guess that's the thing. We'll see. Not having McDaniels and Naz Reid, I think is a big deal in this series. I want to be fair to them about that. But I still think Denver has been the class of the Western Conference all season, and they're showing it. So this series should be over by game five.
Yeah, I don't know what they should do. The Gobert trade, I gave them credit for trying something.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I think would have been the best move, but it was definitely a bet that, well, we're going to have a big time scorer as a superstar at guard.
Mm-hmm.
He's that. He's not afraid in the postseason.
No.
Super talented player. Everyone sees it now. I think he kind of walking that walk a little bit. Mm-hmm. So the future for him is very good. The future for them is very good. They've got some work to do on roster construction. And I agree with you on McDaniel and Reed both. If those guys are both healthy, I think the series goes 6-7 games.
Ooh, yeah. I think you're right. Yeah so it's unfortunate, but it listen, injury is a part of it. This happens every year. You mentioned that it was a bold gamble to the Gobert trade, but they tried something. But there shouldn't be the same hubris in wanting to defend your gamble. If you see it's not working, be just as quick to pivot off of it, right? But I don't know that they're going to be that quick to pivot off. But they have to like show, no, we were right with this all along. And it's like, no, it's okay. We were wrong. Fuck it. We're going somewhere else. But highly unlikely they do that. In my opinion,
this is where the owners matter. They got new owners. A-Rod was at the game, sitting on the court side, whatever. You've got to be able to convince the owner. We tried something, we failed. It's not working. Here's the pivots. Give him three options. Give him five options, and let him say, okay, you know, go do your thing, or I like option one and three better, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that'd be smart. I wouldn't waste any of Edwards' years.
No,
every year matters. Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Like Dallas and Luka.
Oh, well. We talked about them. Yeah. Yikes. David, should we be worried that the Heat are up 2-1 on the Bucks in this series?
I mean, if you're a Milwaukee fan, I don't care. Yeah. Yeah. And let me
give people the little pretext on that. We had our call this morning and everybody's like, oh, how are you? I hate basketball and I hate everything. This is what I said. And David said to me, God, you only hate it because the Grizzlies had a bad game. Like, just don't care about any team. Hate everybody, and you'll be fine. You'll enjoy it all.
I did say that. Yeah. I don't really hate every team, but I just don't care. But, yeah, I don't know who's playing tonight for either team.
Yes. Jimmy and Bam might be out.
Butler and Bam are out, yeah. You don't go down 3-1. They're down 2-1 now, and who knows when Giannis is back? Yeah, We don't know.
Yeah. We don't know.
Boy,
He apparently got some work in ahead of game four. Teams leak all that shit all the time. I don't know what they don't define what work is. I don't know what any of that means. Okay. We will see when the game's, oh, is he out there? That's how we'll know, is he playing or not. And if the Heat got to play with Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, and Duncan Robinson, and that's it? Yeah. Advantage Bucks, even without Giannis. Drew and Chris and Brooke should be able to beat that team. But, because something we always say about Eric Spoelstra and hashtag right. Heat culture, they ain't going to just roll over and give you the game.
That's why you don't want to play in Miami. You never want to play. And Jimmy Butler also is just so incredible. Yeah. Yes. You're playing against a great coach and a great player, like better than most players. So, yeah, that's scary.
David, part of the reason for my I hate basketball this morning is that the Lakers are up 2-1 on the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies scored 9 points in the first quarter.
Ugly.
Nine. In a 12-minute quarter, they scored 9 points. What the? Like, I mean, that was the game. 35-9 after one. I mean, you don't got to be a rocket scientist to figure out, yeah, it's not very good. Now, granted, I will say, over the course of the last three quarters, Memphis clearly played better.
Yeah.
Like, right? And we're the better team, but didn't matter. Can't dig out of a 35-9
pretty
hole.
Tough.
And we'll get to Dylan Brooks of it all in a minute, but it seemed like the Lakers came out with, again, like we talked about with the Knicks and Cavs, with a level of energy and focus, and LeBron and AD especially attacking the glass with a level of effort and veracity that, well, like, Memphis, where are you guys? Still in Memphis? Like, what? Come on, this team is actually playing, and you're just like, whatever. We're just here doing our thing, la-di-da, like do-do-do, but not in a good way. Just, you know, we're just out here. And it's like 9 points in a quarter. Nine. That set the game of offensive basketball back a generation. Horrible, horrible.
Yeah, the Lakers are a good team. We've said this all along. They've got a lot of talent on their team. LeBron figures stuff out. AD is a beast inside. They, I think, feel like they can do some things. The Lakers sure have a belief. Mm-hmm. And so it's a formidable challenge to Memphis, I believe.
It is.
That they're in some trouble.
And they, especially in this series, which we said, no Adams and no Clark is a big deal. But knowing that you don't have that margin for error because you don't have Adams and Clark, your attention to detail and your focus needs to be. And this is a young team, and we've talked about this hubris on their part. It's just, guys, this is not the way you come out. The way you came out in game two without your superstar point guard, that's how you had to come out in game right. three. And you just didn't.
Yeah, you know, I've some of the Memphis media, some of the Memphis players, they're so quick to throw a parade when something good happens. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, I've always been attracted to the best teams who are so humble about it. Because I think it's a better mindset. Mm-hmm. And I remember I probably told this story once before. My last year of high school coaching in 92, when I was actually employed by the school after that, I just volunteered at different places. We were playing for the Final Four. And had we won, we were on the road. We would have had to play Miami High, where Udonis he played there a few years mm-hmm. later. But they've won more state championships than anyone, you know, by a large way. They're just incredible. Great coach. And one of the assistant coaches now is that he took South Carolina to the mm-hmm. Final Four, Frank Martin. And I talked to Frank after we lost our game on the road. And I talked to Frank like the next day or whatever. And he told me, he was in Miami. He's like, David, we were all at the restaurant after celebrating our win to get to the Final Four, which they went every year pretty much. You know, they were nationally ranked, whatever. He said, we kept calling the Miami Herald to find out your score because we just didn't want to play you guys. Mm. And I remember hanging up the phone. You know, at that point, I was 27. I just remember thinking, oh, that's how it's supposed to be. Like, they might have killed us. I mean, I liked our team very much, but they shouldn't have been worried about anyone. But they were, which is the point. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't overlook an opponent. And every time I watch Memphis celebrate, whether it's in the game, after the game, I've told you this before, mm-hmm. when Ja scores and looks at the crowd mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. like, can you just win the game and then act like we have to try to win the next game? And again, it's not just the team. It's some people that I know love the Grizzlies. They act like they've won the championship when you've just won one game.
Correct.
That's got to grow up. Yeah. That's part of this process is mm-hmm. respecting who you're playing against. The fact that it's LeBron should be easier.
Correct.
He's just playing basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not getting caught up in any of the Dylan Brooks sideshow.
He might when it's over, but he'll wait till it's over.
And you know, we'll get to Dylan Brooks a bit right now. Look, Dylan cannot, with 16 seconds on the shot clock, just be firing up. Like, this is, Taylor's got to be like, bro, that's not, no, you cannot do that. Like, we have to run and get a better shot option. Late in the clock and you have to get one up so we get a turnover, fine.
Right.
I get that. But 16, 17 seconds to go? What? No. That is playing into the Lakers' hands. That's what they want you to do because you're not a good shooter. And you know you're not a good shooter, right? Like,
well,
that is a fact.
Well, I'm not sure about the second part.
He may not. You're right. He probably thinks he's very good. But our eyeballs and the numbers tell us you are not good.
you're citing alternative facts that he's not shooting great. Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad. I saw just a picture, he and LeBron talking
pregame. Now, of course, the Laker fans are all like, he told Dylan, you better cut that shit out. I'm going to kick your ass. Like, I don't know. We didn't hear anything. I didn't read any lips. I don't know.
My guess is nothing like that happened.
That's my guess, too.
My guess is LeBron really understands his role. He's the best player these guys will have ever played against. They may like Kobe better. Kobe's not in the same universe.
Right.
Not in the same planet, rather.
Correct.
He's amazing, but he wasn't LeBron. I think LeBron also learned a lesson. Remember, LeBron is a history buff. Very impressively so. I really love that about him. Jordan, remember, you used to always say that about Jordan, is he made you think that are your boys, and then he tries to beat your fucking brains in. I really like that about Jordan.
So maybe LeBron went over to Dylan and was like, you see you talking a lot there, man. It's good for your team. Gets them all riled up, ready to go. Let's strap it up. Looking forward to compete tonight.
Yeah, or he might have just said, hey, keep doing you, man. I got no problem with it. Like, you take the wind out from under him. When I used to play golf, I used to be so critical of myself, you couldn't make fun of me.
Right.
That was part of the deal. I didn't want you to be able to do that. I took care of that myself. I think, LeBron is wise to the different ways you can get yourself going and not inspire your opponent.
And the thing about it is, I want to, the sideshow of Dylan Brooks and WWE aspect, which you talk about that you don't like, aside, he's a very good defender.
For sure.
Very important to what that team does. For sure. And so, Dylan, you are hurting your team when you do this stuff, right? Like, it just is. And then, when you're shooting ill-advised shots, you are also hurting your team, right? You just have to play and be better. And the crazy thing is, David, he's the old, mature one on that team, Steven Adams aside. He's 27. The rest of them are 22 and super young. He's the one that should, in theory, know better, right? And so I think whatever happens, Memphis has seen some things. I mean, it's stuff that I've seen all year, you've seen all year. There's going to be some changes this summer.
I think so.
In terms of, all right, we know we got Jaren and Ja and Bane, who we're building around those guys. Everybody else, up for grabs. Like, we got to shore ourselves up in some other areas here. And I think a nice, like, I don't want to do the whole of a veteran leader in the locker room, an adult in the room.
Well, Adams is an adult. He just isn't playing.
He's not playing. Someone was like, guys, what do you do? We haven't done shit. Like, focus on the task at hand and win the game. I will say this. We are now at the point of the series where it's every other game. And I think
every other day.
If the Lakers don't win tonight and it's 2-2, this favors Memphis going forward, as you said, the later the series goes, because LeBron's not going to have those 48 hours to get that full recovery now. And they're going to need him and AD especially to be at the peak of their game. And then it's also going to stress test, guys who have not had playoff experience before, right? Your Austin Reeves, your Rui Hachimuras. Yeah, they're playing well right now. Looking good. Let's see. 3-2. Got to get a game. And I need you to hit. Is it going to feel the same way? Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. We'll see what happens over time.
Yeah,
I agree. All right, Suns and Clippers. Look, kudos to the Clippers, by the way, for no Paul George, no Kawhi Leonard, and they're battling. Westbrook is playing inspired basketball, competing on both ends. The Suns are just better, and they're winning. I will say this, though, David. I think that the Suns having to play a Ty Lue coach team was very good for them, just because Ty's not going to just give you the same looks. We're doing all kinds of, I don't care. Unlike the Nets and Jacques Vaughn, we're like, try different shit. Ty's like, kitchen sink. I don't care. Let's try this next game. Who knows what we might see in game five on Tuesday night. Ty might go, we're going ultra small and we're just going to run and throw up 73s a game. I don't know. Might work. Might not. But he's going to try something. But I think that variety is, you mentioned it. You've got the irons, right, in your Durant, Booker, Paul, Ayton. But you have to forge them in some fire, right? That's how they become a strong unit. I think even though they're going to win this series likely in five, having to feel the stress of the Clippers not quitting, different looks, is going to equip them well going forward in the postseason.
Oh, not everyone believes that. I do. I'm a big believer that
I believe it.
Each series can necessarily prep you better for game one of the next series. And so, yeah, I think that Phoenix should be sharper than Denver, as an example. I don't think Minnesota, Anthony Edwards aside, has put up quite the same fight, even though it's both 3-1. Phoenix just has that. They can just solve any problem with their shooting. Mm-hmm. They can solve any problem with what you do. Mm-hmm. And they've got to get a lot better themselves at connecting better. They've talked about this in some of the post-game stuff. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant's talked about it. I think it comes down to Chris Paul just being comfortable scoring.
Who was excellent in the fourth quarter.
Really good. And so bad in game one. Mm-hmm. Missing three easy, for him, easy shots that weren't so easy. How he does is super important. Yeah. The other ones, I feel like you can book them.
Durant, yeah, you know, you can book them.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
Yeah. Biombo off the bench is a plus. Ayton does what he does. We all wish he did more.
With more force.
Right.
Yeah. But
he is what he is. Chris Paul, I think, is super key.
And when they know, and this is just a reality, Michael Malone is not going to be doing the same things that Ty Lue is doing in terms of, he's going to just do what he does.
I think so.
And that's a disservice, I think, to his team.
I'd pick Phoenix as of now because of that. Yeah,
for sure. And we both think the winner of that series will likely be the Western Conference
champion. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm nothing against L.A. I think they could run out of gas. Those guys are playing a lot.
Yeah, that's going to do it for four rounds.
Yeah.
That's a lot. You know? All right, we talked about this team getting swept, sad. Offseason, Brooklyn Nets, they got some choices to make. When they started the Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving era, draft picks were all gone because of the Harden trade. They had nothing, and cupboard was bare. Deep in the luxury tax, we're like, oh, this team is terrible. Come out of it on the other side. They got some stuff. Bridges, Cam Johnson. They got a bunch of picks now. They got back in the trade for Durant.
Claxton and Kyrie.
Claxton, of course. So to me, David, Bridges, Claxton, and Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson's a free agent, so a restricted one, so they can do their thing there. And Nick signed a 2-year deal, so he's got one more year left on his deal, I believe. Bridges already signed. I think keeping Cam is, I think, priority number one. Doesn't mean you can't move him later for something else, but I think signing him right now is priority. Everybody else on that roster? Listen, man, because they got picks, and I will put this out as a little piece of a nugget for people out there. Game 3, it was a Portland Trailblazer sitting courtside. One Damian Lillard, who has talked glowingly in the past about, guess who? Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, and wanting to play with a rim-running lob threat. Who could be a rim-running lob threat? Oh, Nick Claxton. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Well, let's just do it. Dame at 1, Bridges at 2, Johnson at 3 or 4,
ooh.
Claxton at 5.
Oh, boy.
You're cooking.
You are cooking
the Dame Lillard we saw this year.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue Dame this year was the best offensive player in the league.
You could.
You could incredibly make that argument.
And you've got, he's not a good defender. Well, those three good defenders right there.
Yes, which is what you have to do around Dame. Surround him with defense.
Yeah, so you got to get yourself, you know, a rebounder probably, I would guess.
Yes, at that 4 position.
Yeah.
Need a rebounder.
Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting.
Listen, Brooklyn, you, some good things could be happening here in the future. Be excited. And I'd like to, look, Jacques earned his extension and he's going to be coaching that team. I think, like, as you said, let's be a little more daring and bold, Jacques. Like, let's do some fun stuff.
They were a 6 seed only because they had Durant and Kyrie.
Kyrie, correct.
Yeah, that team wasn't a, that team, I mean, is a deep lottery.
As a matter of fact, their record after the trade with those guys was under 500.
Yeah.
So that's what you were.
Yeah.
So they had a
chance. They just didn't take advantage of it.
So hopefully maybe this offseason, you know, we always say players get better in the offseason. Coaches can too.
Yeah.
Jack, see some things. Go travel. Do some tactics, your favorite thing. Watch what some of the Euro teams. You know what? We can do some fun, different things here. Just try it out.
Yep.
If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But try at least.
I agree. You know,
that's my thing. All right. Phil Jackson had some unfortunate comments. You know, and this is about the during the bubble season when they had Black Lives Matter on the courts. And Phil said something to the tune of, well, they were trying to attract a certain kind of audience. And they realized that, you know, people want to come to sports to get away from politics. And if you've listened to this show long enough, you know where I stand on this. And I've made the point a billion times, and it's done throughout history. Sports and politics have never been a separate thing. Never, ever, 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 ever. It just hasn't. It's a myth. Whenever anybody tells you, no. It's when they don't like those politics. That's the issue. It's that I don't like those particular politics. And by the way, caring about the lives of citizens is not political. That's being, as Coach Dorwolfman likes to say, it's not hard to be decent. Right. That's being a decent human being, is caring about the lives of other people. That's not politics, okay? That's being a decent person. Phil Jackson has long ago proved that he is not a decent person, right? The comments about LeBron and his posse, and like, it's just, no.
He's turned into old white man.
He's been an old white man.
Yeah, but this was a guy that I thought was more recognized. He was better recognizing the real diversity of our experience.
Don't be fooled by the saging and the yoga and all that nonsense.
I didn't mean that. I like the books that he always tried to get them to read. I like the egalitarian offensive style that they had. I'm very disappointed. Extraordinarily disappointed. Like, he's basically dead to me now.
So, well, I'm gonna get rid of the books. If anybody knows, when you were become dead to David Thorpe, yeah, that's, you ain't coming back, yeah, from the dead. That's it.
Yeah, I gotta burn his books now. I won't burn him, but I'll give him away.
He'll give him away. Yeah. No, it's unfortunate. And again, for someone who is so revered by the outside public because of what he's accomplished in basketball, to have those kinds of statements on that platform, that does nothing. Who does that help? It doesn't promote the goodness in our game, doesn't promote human decency, does nothing positive. Phil Jackson, go away. Nobody wants to hear from you.
Yes. All right. I second that.
Thursday, by the time Thursday's here, we'll have a lot of the first round wrapped up. We're pretty sure. And those three 1 series for sure will likely be over. And we might have some series going 6-7. So it'll be exciting. All right, guys. Take care.